What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherless.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 25th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. A few things I got to talk about first. One, Jake Crumpler wrote the list notes this week. I am so excited about it. It's because Jake Crumpler is likely going to take on a little bit more next year, and I wanted him to get an opportunity to write the proper edition of the list before the end of the season. And next week, we're going to the schedule edition of the list. So the proper 1 through 100, et cetera, and honorable mentions. This is the last week we're doing it. I still did the ranks, and I talked it over with Jake. Jake then wrote the notes. He needed more time to do so, which is understandable. It's the first time he did it. So I gave him the night, and then we pushed it out this morning. I made a few edits with like Wheeler and Gausman and Urquidy based on Monday night's games. But that's why it's a little bit later this week. I know it's been later for a lot recently. A lot of things going on in my life that I need to spend more time on right now. It's okay. It's all good. Trust me. But yeah, that's something maybe we'll talk about another time. However, I also want to mention that the pitcher dashboard that I've been talking about a while, I know you're kind of sick of it right now. Well, I'm going to tell you this. It has been updated to match what I have. And this is such an exciting moment. I feel like it is the experience I've been trying to give you guys the entire time. We made a lot more edits just to make it look so good. And anyone who has tried it, I would be shocked if you felt like it wasn't worth it. I really cannot express. Give it a spin. I might be able to make it free for a second, but I don't think so. And if you want to check it out to really understand these pitchers better than anyone else for the final month of the season, you got to go and get it. You can get 20% off PL Pro yearly with promo code Live Dashboard. 20% off. I've spent 7 months just fine-tuning this thing to provide the right data in the right way with the right design. It is not easy, and it's what I use to get all of my information. You got to do it. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you can import all of your fantasy teams and get our rankings assigned to them, all the Process Plus marks, our Process Plus rolling charts, and the Live Draft Assistant, which we know the number one ask was for live sync for your drafts, and we're doing everything we can to get that for you for this offseason. So really, you have to get PL Pro. It's $20 a month, but you get 20% off of that if you get Live Dashboards. That's $16 a month now. Guys, that's for a full year. Oh my gosh, you'll get all the preseason stuff, everything you want in season. My Sin Start grid for 14 days, my extra day of ranked streamers, all of it. Support the site through the lockout, guys. Okay, thank you for enduring that. So sorry, had to plug all of it. We got to talk about Zach Wheeler, and another apologies, I guess, because this was just terrible. He entered yesterday's game, this is before how bad it was, with a 6.64 ERA, a 1.62 whip, and a 12% walk rate. And that was across his last five games. Really just atypical of Zach Wheeler. He had not completed the sixth inning once. He had done that in 87% of his previous 15 starts. 13 of 15 starts prior came with at least six innings. All right. And actually, I think that's four. No, it is. Yes, I'm so sorry. Bad maths. Four innings, eight earned runs, nine hits, five walks, four Ks were what we actually got from Zach Wheeler in Seattle at the tee. What is going on, right? I removed him from Ace is Gonna Ace. It was also a five earned run first inning with two home runs. Sure, he got Cal Raleigh back. Yay, we're all so thrilled. No, this was a case where Zach Wheeler just cannot locate as he normally does. I mean, that is just business as usual. His sinker is supposed to get inside of righties and jam them and end at bat soon. It's not doing that as effectively. The four seamer isn't staying up as often and getting those chases out of the zone. Normally, that's like a 71% strike pitch. It was sub 60%. Against right-handers, and then the sweeper wasn't the reliable pitch to deny the walks. So against right-handers, Wheeler wasn't allowing hits. He was actually just allowing walks, four of them here, because he wasn't converting those at-bats into quick outs. And against lefties, how he normally gets his outs and hits are really down and away or up and in, right? He's very good at throwing pitches out of the center of the plate, and that wasn't the case here. This was seven of those nine hits, all on pitches in the middle of the plate. That is the four-seamer, the cutter, the splitter, it's all there. And to see Wheeler just out of practice, you know, it looks like, is strange. I feel like there is something holding him back. It looks like it's an injury. Could be the TOS reappearing, could just be fatigue after The long year, I don't know, but he is not the Zach Wheeler we know. And I don't blame anyone who wants to bench him against the Angels this week, but I'm going to do it because as long as they are pitching him, and this is a playoff contending team, that means that they feel like Zach Wheeler is healthy. And if Zach Wheeler is healthy, then he'll make whatever tweak he needs to get back into it in time, especially against a team like the Angels. However, if that's not good, there's no way I'm going to suggest starting him against Atlanta. Kevin Gausman yesterday against Arizona, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. He got the win. Amazing. 37% CSW in that too. Also is a King Cole. And this was the game we've been waiting for. Now, the Diamondbacks were absurdly passive. 39% called strike rate is so high on his four-seamer. I mean, that is insane. You're hoping for like a 26, 27%. 39 is just, oh, okay. But that meant that they were on their heels a lot, and then they hit a ton of these into play. Koufax was very kind. A lot of the problems that we've seen from Gausman have been terrible BABIPs, 500 BABIPs or so. That was more understandable as part of the Jays, but not really the Cubs. The Cubs are an elite defense, like the best one. So I expected more of this, and it's going to be closer to like 6 innings, 2 earned runs than it is 7 of 0. But yeah, this is Gausman. And I moved him up from my earlier ranking because I needed to see one of these. Saw last night, but I was like, well, never mind. I'm pushing him up into like where Logan Webb and friends are. Carson Wisenhunt was looking much more promising. 93 miles per hour. Actually, even flirted with 94 finally after going 92 for most of this year. And then you have the changeups actually sitting down. You have the four-seamers, even though they weren't getting strikes, they're at least upstairs as opposed to down. And then he left the game with elbow pain. Oh my gosh. I see this every so often where like a guy is finally doing something that is exciting, right? Oftentimes it is velocity, and that velocity overstrains them, you know, and then there you go. But I overworks them and they get, or strains them, I should say. But Carson Wisenhunt on 2.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. I don't know what's going to happen now. I would not expect him to start soon. Sandy Alcantara did great things once again. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. He is the reliable quality start guy. It was not a great one last time, and I'm happy to see that he got it back. It has been a 20% strikeout rate across the last, like 12 games or so, 10 games, 10 games. When he's been averaging 7 innings a start, though, which means that it's about 5 strikeouts, actually more, per game. So that's cool. Zebby Matthews. This was the best slider I've seen from Zebby Matthews in a very long time. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks, 23 whiffs for a Gallows pole in Sacre Verde. Oh, man. That's pretty awesome. Now, the Athletics do favor right-handers a little bit more than your average team, which means that those sliders can be really effective down and away if you nail them. And Zebby did. I mean, he got 10 whiffs total on this one, but half of those were actually against the lefties, too. And he had a few that were spotted down, and that's cool. He had 3 of them that were swung at, kind of like a Cannibal McSanchez at the top of the zone. That I'm like, okay, that probably won't stick around. But then again, the sinker had a 90% strike rate. That's so cool. He's up to 96. His changeups were down and away to lefties. This is cool. I mean, it's not going to be this good because I think the right-handed lineup and against Athletics are really amplifying that slider a bit. At the same time, 23 whiffs, I mean, I had to bring him onto the list because this is really cool, and maybe he can replicate it against the Tigers. Will they send that many right-handers to play? Probably not, but it might be worth a shot given the improved slider. Braxton Ashcraft, this is his third start of like going deep and getting a good ratio. So 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk against the Padres, but just 2 strikeouts despite 11 whiffs. He went over 9 with his slider in 2 strike counts. That is, he didn't have a single strikeout on the slider despite throwing it 9 times. 2 of those strikeouts, the only 2, were the curveball. And I'm a little annoyed that he only went 57% breakers in 2 strike counts. What I'm saying is, through way too many four-seamers and sinkers trying to get a strikeout, he didn't get a single one. What was it, like over 17? I want to say something like that. You got to be better than that, Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, look, I don't know why you're not going like 60 to 65%. Sliders and curves. They're so much better than your fastballs. Even though you're at 98, they're not as good. Yes, you did get through this game, 6 innings at 91 pitches. I totally get that. You want to dominate? I mean, those were you threw so many pitches in 2 strike counts that were not strikeouts. That's all I'm really saying here, is just eliminate the fastballs in 2 strike counts and convert them into sliders and curves. Just more of those. That's it. That's the only tweak you have to make. Parker Messick against the Angels, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. There's a temptation to make him an ace is going to ace, right? To give him that AGA label, because there's a 2.5 ERA, 101 whip, and a 26% K rate across a full year. That's not even me like cherry picking a range. That's 155 innings. And he was at 94 in this one, so he was a little bit worse than we normally see. And his fastball didn't whiff a single time. We'll talk more about lack of whiffs later. But it was nice to see the cutter in action. The changeup was all right. You know, it's everything is just kind of like cruising and cool with Parker Messick. He's the perfect example of a pitcher who isn't having those amazing swing games to outweigh the bad ones. He's just not having the bad ones. You know, it's just one of the highest floors, and it's not all about the ceiling. You have Drew Rasmussen against the Tigers. So you have 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. This is the standard Drew Rasmussen, and this was even without the best cutter, whose his cutter has actually dipped a bit in its efficiency over the last like 4 or 5 starts, like fewer strikes on it, fewer whiffs. Usually we see some like 70% strikes, and it's like 55 to 62 or something like that. Should be fine. Ranger Suarez, 5 innings and 1 run. Yes, 4 hits, 4 walks. No, 4 Ks. It's weird. He did not locate right. Sinkers were away to lefties instead of inside to them. And he had a good curveball. That was really the saving grace of the start. But everything else against right-handers, cutters were, where are you going? Changes, where are you going? Fastballs, no. I'm a little bit worried about this. And this was against Miami, so that's nice. He was able to get out of those jams with 8 base runners and just 1 run in 5 innings. But Ranger Suarez is not the guy that I want him to be right now. And then Kay Cavalli had rocky road, got the win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. Why wasn't this like 20 strikeouts and no one runs? Just kidding. Yeah, he still has the velocity that we want. I want to say that curveball's like 87 miles per hour. It's stupid. The cutter isn't as involved as I thought it would be, but he's having success, so I'm not really upset about it. He does get the Marlins on Saturday and then the Dodgers next Friday. I will give him aces gonna ace if those two are there. We have other guys to talk about. Kumar Rocker, Robbie Ray, George Clausen, Logan Gilbert, Merrill Kelly, Chase Burns, and one pitcher who did something that so few have done since the start of 2021. I'll tell you what that is after this break. All right, so we have George Clausen, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. This was against Cleveland. I was a little bit scared about this because he's going against lefties and he does not have a strong left-handed approach, right? He has a really good right-handed one because he has an elite slider, 90 miles per hour, but it's gyro, like proper gyro. And he does a great job of getting that down and away. That was still there here in this game. Awesome. The four-seamer is really just get it over the plate, please. And it was still sub 60% strikes in this one. Not to mention, there's nothing else. Like, he tried to throw some changeups and they were fine. It was 6 for 9 strikes, I believe it was. But it's not a left-handed approach that feels good at the moment. Clausen did get some whiffs on his slider against lefties, sure. But until he has a real strong left-handed approach, I'm going to platoon this to be focused on right-handed lineups, or at least half split. And any team that is going to face or going to send at least 7 batters from the left side against Clausen, I'm not going to go after, I think. And I see the Yankees next. That just does not match for me. Logan Gilbert, not George Clausen. That was George Clausen, by the way. Logan Gilbert against the Phillies, 5 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. You know, this wasn't the smoothest one. It was 102 pitches for Logan Gilbert. But his four-seamer was just dominating in the zone. And if he got any sort of help from the changeup or the splitter or just a little bit more from the slider, all of them had low strike rates relatively, he could have easily gotten 6. You have Merrill Kelly going 5.2 innings of 3 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. I know it doesn't sound like I'm a big fan of Tobys, but I actually am when they're just so undervalued. There's like a range of what a Toby is. They're the pitchers who I call a Toby that people don't like that I call him a Toby. Then there are the Tobys that people don't care about. And those are the ones I like because they're so under-rostered and underappreciated for what they do. And Merrill Kelly in this one was 1 out away from 6 innings and 2 earned runs. And then he allowed a single and got pulled and that guy came in. So that's why it became 5.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. And the thing is, he did everything right. I mean, he did the changeup down and away as he wanted to, did the slider as he wanted to. And this is the result. which is a little disheartening, even though I did just mention you got a little bit of bad luck in there. It's still just, do I really want to continue going after this? I don't really want to do it. You have Kumar Rocker against the White Sox. I added him to the list after this one because he got 8 strikeouts in 5.2 innings, got the win, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, and 3 walks along the way. 14 whiffs here. The slider is still always low and getting all of the whiffs. I don't love the lefty approach with the sinkers going up and away. He didn't have a high strike rate on it, though, and he did throw more cutters, and I'm like, fine, he's a hipster, right? He could have one of those excellent starts and roll with it, so... it's not common for 8 strikeouts. Only the second time he's done that, but like 6 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts, sneaky win, good home park. I'll say that he's a hipster for your 15 teamers, which is worthwhile on the list. I removed Jackson Kent, by the way, and I feel like maybe I shouldn't have. I don't know. Jackson Kent hasn't done it yet. Like, he hasn't put it all together, but it feels so close from the left side. 93-94, good extension. Blake Snell blueprint, 4 seamers. Change-ups. He's a swatch for the Nationals. Just pay attention. That's all to him. And you have Robbie Ray against the Pirates. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Finally, he pulled back on the sinker to right-handers. It was more 4-seamers than sinkers. I mean, he threw like 5 of them, maybe. 3, actually, to right-handers. The change-up was 46% usage to right-handers and 47% strikes. And the slider is still not at all there, but at least he had the higher 4-seamer in this one. Sweet. Against lefties, he's just fine. You know, it's really just about the right-hand approach for Robbie Ray. And among all of this, like, ridiculousness, the last 12 games for Robbie Ray is a 1.94 ERA and a 1.23 whip. That's since June 16th. That's bonkers. Like, he is so not locked in at all and is a 1.94 ERA. I guess it's effectively wild. I don't know. I gave you a tease before the ad break that someone did something that we've only seen 5 times in total since 2021. And that was Framber Valdez, who went 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 hits, and 2 walks, which is a very, very poor quality start, with 0 strikeouts and 0 whiffs. Not a single whiff on 84 pitches. Only 5 pitchers have had a start since 2021 with at least 80 pitches, or at least any pitcher has gone at least 80 pitches with 0 whiffs. It's Brandon Pfaadt on the 19th of May in 2025. We have Jose Berríos doing it in 24. We have Adam Wainwright doing it in 23, and Martin Perez doing it in 23. That's it. The only guys who have thrown at least 80 pitches to return 0 whiffs. All of those actually did over 90. Yeah, if you need a sign that Framber Valdez isn't going to work out, I mean, it's right there. It's not going to work out. Jeffrey Springs against the Twins, 4.2 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. It's not sunshine and rainbows. Yeah, don't go with Jeffrey Springs. Ryan Feltner, Colorado pitcher in Nationals Park, which is honestly like the best place you could hope for, maybe. It's a terrible lineup. I mean, sure, it's not a pitcher's park, but still. Did not work out. 5.2 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. You have Jose Urquidy, who I took off the list, pitching for the White Sox against the Rangers. 3 innings of 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. I was a little bit disappointed because he did have 6 innings of 8 strikeouts last game, 0 earned runs. And I was really hoping to see a little bit more of that this time, and it just wasn't. And so I said, fine, you're off the list. And then you have Chase Burns. We got to talk about this one a little bit. 3.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And Chase Burns is your Strider type, just without a whiffable fastball. I mean, Strider wasn't really a super high 4-seamer whiff rate at times. Like, it was like 11 and 12%. And then the slider was the one that was like 25% plus. And that is what it is for Chase Burns, right? It is just a ridiculous 32% put-away rate, which is... across the season, amazing. Now, it's a 14% put-away rate for the season on the 4-seamer for Chase Burns. And I think that is all that's missing, is if Chase Burns can find a way to turn that into 20%, which means really getting the 4-seamer likely to like 10%, 11%, 7%, 8% swing strike rate, that's it. Just locate the thing upstairs. But he's had a lot of trouble with that. And if, you know, this was a 70% If this was a slider with a 70% strike rate and not 54% as it was in this game, then he might be able to mask the fact that the four seamer isn't coming through like this, right? And this was such a good matchup in Oracle Park. It's really disheartening. But just know that it's as simple as, hey, throw sliders for strikes, keep the four seamer upstairs, and you should likely have a much better put away rate on that four seamer. And there you go, you're golden again. So I'm not going to remove the aces against ace tag from Burns, even though I kind of hinted at it maybe 2 weeks ago. The velocity is at 97, which isn't 96.5, but it's not 98. I think we're fine. So we're just going to keep going with Chase Burns. And that is it for today. So thank you all so much for enduring all of the weird schedules, for enduring the inconsistent plus pitch podcasts. I'm doing everything I can. I can explain more at a later time. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.